Talk Radio WGNS, putting the power of your free speech into action on air and online at WGNSradio.com.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. We have Mr. Fred Marshall back on again, who is over our softball league, thanks to the Kiwanis Club. And we have Roger Hudson. And Roger, you just got through hearing John Blankenship sing, and you being an attorney, would you like to compete for the best attorney singer?
No, I believe I'll leave that to Brother John.
He sure can sing.
He can.
Of course, we're going to be talking about round ball, and I want you to know, before we get into that, that last night they had the old-timers baseball, and it was always a fun event. I mean, we really had a great time last night, and we had five new inductees: B.E. Palmer, that's Billy Earl Palmer, who played during my time, Rodney Hayes, Sam Kerr, who is a legend in this area. So is Rodney. I mean, Rodney, bless his heart, he comes from a long-standing family of athletes. Have Mr. Andy Adams. He was one of our inductees, and everybody, I think, knows Andy. And Kevin Mayfield, and I played with his dad, so that shows you what's going on. But really a great bunch of people, and all well-deserved, and a good time for all, and all of you didn't make it, shame on you. Well, Fred, you're getting close to everything right now, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We're getting closer. First of all, let me thank you for putting us on the second time.
Oh, you know how I love ball.
You love ball, mm-hmm. and I think you're concerned about our community, and yes. that's what we're all about. Our program yeah. is helping girls mm-hmm. and shaping girls, and we want to thank you for having us on the second time.
It's my pleasure, and I just love the Kiwanis Club. It did so much for me when I was growing up, yes. and it hasn't changed a bit. It's still reaching out among the young people and doing so many wonderful things for them. And speaking of young people, very young people, Roger has something he wants to say on the radio to someone.
Yes, I promised I would do this, and I want to wish my wonderful wife, Karen, a happy birthday today. So
and if anybody deserves a happy birthday, it's Karen.
That's exactly, for putting up with me, and I appreciate it all these many years. But I want to wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Karen.
If I was going to organize something and get it going and make sure it was done effectively and efficiently, Karen would be one of my first picks. I mean, she's just very, very sweet lady, and she's put up with Roger all these years, Fred. I don't know how she's done it, but I know how tough it is.
Right. Right.
Now, tell me about ball season. I mean, we're getting ready. Yeah. And tell everybody what we're looking at, because I remember the day, and most of us do that are close to my age, we played ball, I guess, from the time we were 6 years old. We would have, first of all, we would have recess, and we'd have pickup teams, and we would choose, usually use the bat, you know, you go hand over hand, and then whoever got the end got to be the first one.
Right.
And we played all those years, and then I think it was in 1950, organized ball started at that time.
Right.
And it's hard to believe, but we played over at campus school in that little stamp area right there. And then it has gotten to be really a major event. I mean, there's beautiful fields all over the place, have great coaches. I mean, it's something special right here, isn't it?
It is, and that's something you just said about great coaches. And that's the one of the backbones of our program mm-hmm. is great coaches and our commissioners, that is really keeps our program going. But we're one of the few. Matter of fact, we're the only all girls softball program in Murfreesboro, wow. And we the only one that offers slow pitch and fast pitch. Mm-hmm. and we have about a split ratio there in that group. But we start in slow pitch. A player can be from as young as 3 years old and start playing ball for us in the T-ball league, 5- and 6-year-old division. We go all the way up to 18 and under. In the fast pitch, we have four divisions, 8 and under, 10, 12, and 18 and under. They go all the way up to 18 and under. And so fast pitch, a little bit more competitive, but me and Roger was talking before the show, slow pitch, we always have girls that wants to play slow pitch. They just don't want to move to fast pitch. So it's a league that we have girls stay there all the way through until they're 18 years of age and play slow. So that's really why we continue to offer it in our program.
Tell me about the Kiwanis Club being so active still, Roger, in events such as girls' baseball and softball. Well, of course, you're dealing with softball primarily. And I remember we didn't think the girls could hit a ball when we were growing up. We didn't think they could throw. And be honest with you, most of them couldn't at that time. What in the world has happened to bring them up at such a high level?
I think they've just gotten the opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. Some of the best athletes, of course, in this state are in Rutherford County.
They are.
Softball, baseball, football, basketball, all of it. So we're very blessed in that regard. But when you go back to years ago and you remember the girls playing basketball half court because thought was that they couldn't stand going up and down the court. Well, we know that's not the case.
Yes.
They're very athletic people. I watched Blackman High School and Oakland girls play last night. Fabulous athletes on the floor. So in the softball realm, though, the Kiwanis Club back many, many years ago, Truman, ran not only the boys program but a girls program. Mm-hmm. Then it got so big, frankly, that we took on only the girls and somebody else took the boys. Some of the best players that have ever played in Rutherford County came through the Kiwanis softball leagues. So what I think to answer your question is we hope that we have made available to these young ladies the opportunity to get involved in softball early. And then they just develop their skills just like guys do, no differently. And they're very, very good at it. I'd challenge somebody to come out and hit some of those in the fast pitch league, hit some of those young ladies that throw that ball in there. So we've been very proud to do it. The Kiwanis has been involved in this I've been in Kiwanis about 30 years. Mm-hmm. But I think we've been involved in this 40 plus years. William Clark Gannon, of course, is still a member of our club. Mm-hmm. But Clark was involved in it back when it got started and played at the airport field, if you remember, and all over the place.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just grown and grown. And then with people like Fred who are heavily involved in keeping an eye on that thing day to day, which it needs almost, then it's just become better and better. So it's our main project for our Kiwanis Club is the ball program. And we, from that, believe that we're helping put some young ladies into something that's good and wholesome and that they can learn from. And some of these young ladies, not I'm sure a ton, but a lot of them, some earn scholarships from this as years go on. Mm-hmm. And they started in our league. We're proud of it.
Kind of makes me feel a little bad that we did not give the young ladies the opportunity earlier because as I have watched them, I have watched I guess I shouldn't call out names, but I remember Colleen Kennedy. She played with my boys in baseball and played softball and fast pitch and everything else. And she could outplay the boys a lot of times.
Oh, yes, no doubt.
It was unreal.
Oh, she's a fireball, no doubt.
Yeah, and after the game, she would get out there and run bases just one after another. I mean, she just had all that pent-up energy.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
You know she's playing soccer now. She's not playing softball anymore.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I don't either.
I love round ball, not the soccer size round
ball.
There
you go. I'm with you.
Now, tell me what's going on. When are you going to start? And then what are we looking at? And because I tell you what, if you don't have kids, grandkids, and you want to go out and see the young people having fun, that's the thing to do. I mean, it's perfect.
Yes. We're going to have our last physical sign up this Saturday at Central Magnet School on East Main Street from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can go online now and all the way through February the 28th and sign up online.
Mm-hmm.
We will start a tryout for girls that have not played in our program.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tryout out there on the March the 8th. And at that time, we'll have some time for late signups. Somebody that's maybe forgotten, missing the program that we'll give them opportunity to sign up at that date. After that date, we go into Grouse putting our teams together. On March the 10th, we'll be putting our slow-pitch teams together. The very next week, on March the 17th, we'll be putting our fast-pitch teams together. We'll start practicing immediately after the Grouse, the teams. We'll start playing on April the 28th, which is on a Monday. And we only play during the week. Don't play on the weekends. We play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We leave Wednesdays open for makeup games in case we get rained out. And we play, start playing April 28th, and we play all the way through until the third week in June. And at that time, we'll have a tournament for our girls, which all the girls and coaches look forward to this, have their seat, a single-seat tournament, where that they play each other, you know, and for first, second, third place. Of course, every girl in our program gets an award. We don't leave nobody out. Nobody's is better than another girl. So we, all of our girls gets awarded in the tournament play. For planning our program.
Do you see a lot of the girls, their dads start pitching to them when they're 4 and 5 years old, like the boys? Are you seeing some of that?
Yes, we are. And here's the deal. This year, I just got out of a meeting last week with the city of Murfreesboro with Lanny and Thomas Larry, Lanny Goodman and Thomas Larry. And they're putting a program together this year, first year, and they're going to be using our park, Field 5 and 6, which we don't use a lot. But they're going to put a program together called Start First, and it's for 2 and 3 year old boys or girls, you know, that can come, and they're going to have their own people, in house people out there, you know, working with these girls and boys, you know, throwing and catching, what have you.
It gives them a little bit. It gives them a little bit of advantage
when they want to start playing. Yeah. As example, the slow pitch, the youngest girl we can take is 3. We'll let her come in and play slow pitch, so that'll be a big boost for our program when they want to come in. So I encourage anybody out there listening to call the Murfreesboro Rec Department, and they'll give them information on that. My understanding is the first deal is going to start on a Saturday on April the 19th. But the Murfreesboro Recreation Department will have that information if they're interested in the in taking their kids out there and getting involved in it.
Now, when the girls come out to try out?
Well, that'll be on March the 8th.
And is that an intense day for them?
Well, it is for the girls that hadn't played. These are girls that never has played in their program. You know, our last meeting we had, we talked about our grout
system.
Some
of them don't really know what they're getting into.
That's correct. But if you've played in our program, we already have a rating on you from the head coach. You know, he's watched you or she's watched you play all year long.
That's how Norris Lovering always got his best player.
Yeah, right.
He knew them all before everybody else did.
So now we only take girls that have not played in our program so we can get a rating on them so we can pretty well equal the teams up. And we've got a pretty doggone competitive league now. There's no team out there last year in 2013 that went undefeated.
Wow.
No team. And we had 48 teams. So we're getting
competitive. That's unusual, especially I would think in fast pitch.
It is, but if you get the teams equaled up, of course you're going to have some coaches a little bit better than other coaches. Mm-hmm. Sometimes better show on the field, you know, because of his skills or her skills. But basically, if they're evened up and he's got basically about the same quality of players that anybody else has got, then everybody can win a ball game. And we had that happen last year. I mean, nobody went undefeated. Everybody lost a game. There's not a team out there in all groups, slow pitch and fast pitch, that went undefeated last year. And that's happened a lot in the past years, but we feel like we got that going the right direction now.
Do you feel like your coaches are at a skill level now that they promote the girls, say if they're playing in high school? And right now, a lot of parents – with the ladies, like they used to be with the girls, are looking for scholarship chances.
Yes.
Are you honing those skills in your particular league for those particular areas? Because I know you travel a lot and play a lot of great teams.
Right. We'll have coaches at the end of the year, and Kiwanis has been good about sponsoring this for us. And we have each league in the fast pitch division, we will put a all-star players together. And go and play in, you know, 3 or 4 tournaments at the end of the year outside of our program. And those are the type of girls you're talking about that are excellent ball players. And type of ball players that Roger just mentioned that goes on and maybe has got scholarship play or they're all-star players in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this in the last meeting. We've got some girls in our program that are high school all-stars now in all schools, mm-hmm. Blackman, Siegel, Oakland, you know, Riverdale, all of them. And they've played in our program, and now they're all-star players in high school. So our coaches are very aware of that, especially pitchers and catchers. And those are the two main keys of the team when you get in that older group.
Yeah, when you get in the fast pitch, Roger, with the Kiwanis Club, and I know you have done so much, and I've already mentioned this earlier. You did a lot for all of us young boys when we were growing up. What are the key things that you're looking for when you sponsor some programs? I know the girls program. I know it's almost just overt as far as what's happening with the girls at the time. But the Kiwanis Club has been around a long, long time. It's one of the oldest, I guess, there is in the country.
It is. It's a great organization that basically is out to do service to others. And our primary focus is on the kids and young folks of Rutherford County. Mm-hmm. That's where we aim. In addition to the ball program that we operate, we also have key clubs that we sponsor within the high schools, which is basically a baby Kiwanis Club there. Mm-hmm. But those folks are fantastic, and they're taught and they learn skills about service to others. Mm-hmm. They also learn interpersonal skills, which sometimes with all the electronics and stuff we have now kind of gets lost. Mm-hmm. And that helps them get up in front of people and talk and speak and do things. So the key clubs, which we sponsor about five, we probably sponsor more key clubs than anybody in the Tennessee and Kentucky district.
Wow.
And also we have a program called Candle Wishes where we're very much involved in helping a young lady who started that to help kids that are underprivileged not just have a big Christmas but to have their birthday noted and they get something for that. And we sponsor that pro. Jenny King started that with her mom and her family, and she still does it to this day, Claude King and Rita King's daughter. So we look at that. We want to help in that regard, and we have various outlets to do it. And one thing I did want to mention, just for those folks out there who think, well, maybe my daughter may not be an all-star. Mm-hmm. Well, our program's perfect for that. Everybody's not going to be an all-star, and everybody doesn't want to be. They want to participate, get their skills up, play, have fun, and they may never play again. But they have fun in our leagues, we hope. And that's the reason we try to balance the teams. And Fred's done a great job of that. I don't know if anybody learns anything when one team's winning 20-0. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to balance
it. Yeah, you want to be on the winning team.
You sure do. And I don't know if you're learning a lot then. But we try to balance that out the best we can, and so that kids know when they walk out there, hey, I've got a chance. Because developing your skills and trying to win is what we Americans are about, but it's not a cutthroat type thing. We're trying to develop and teach these young ladies something from the ground up because they're just learning a brand new skill, a lot of them, and we're proud of that fact. So we have some very top flight players that come through there, and we have some average players that just enjoy playing.
You have, I've seen it over the years where you have kids, and I've dealt with boys most of the time, but I know the girls would be the same, where they come in and their skills are terrible. They want to play so bad, and you'll see them up there in bat practice. They may miss 20 straight swinging at the ball. And then all of a sudden something happens. Mm-hmm. And they practice, and finally they get their hand and eye coordination developed at such a point that they can't become quite good at it. Then you see the kids that just have all kinds of talent, and it comes so easy to them that they don't work as hard. And I think that's one of the lessons in life that we all have, that there you can overcome anything if you just put your mind to it. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons that in the girls' league that you will find with them, because it's not just softball anymore. It's all the challenges in life that they're going to face.
That's true. And, you know, it takes a lot of work. And the girls you're talking about, sometimes these girls got natural ability. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to you a little earlier about little Laura Jones, mm-hmm. which I don't think is in relationship to you, but I know
she's got a good arm.
I know that she played my 8 and under team in the league when I coached out there. And She had the arm of a 16-year-old. I mean, she was an excellent, excellent ball player, and just had those
don't
natural
let her throw it out.
Yeah, just natural talent. But we got also girls like Roger, speaking of, that comes in and slow, that only wants to come out there and play and have fun and enjoy the program. And that's what our program is all about. Three things mainly. Number one is we teach fundamentals. That's right up top, fundamentals. And that is the all the facets of catching the ball, throwing the ball, hitting.
Which base to cover.
All the scenarios that you get into in playing softball and the defense. But that's the main thing. And then secondly, you know, we want them to have fun. You know, that's the second thing. Mm-hmm. And if you put those two things together, the end results, we don't care if they win, if they lose, from our standpoint. Now, all the coaches want to win, but – you know, when we get these teams together and everybody comes up and they get better and better as they go. And as an example, the first half of the year, this girl, like you just mentioned, this girl might not be hitting the ball or maybe catching the ball that good or throwing the ball that good. Second part of the season comes up in the second round. Hey, these teams that didn't do it good and these little girls that didn't do that great, all of a sudden, oh, boy, she's come alive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's hitting the ball and getting on. And that's what it's all about. And parents get excited about it because they see that she's come up and she's improved even within that 1 year. So that's what our program's about, is making it right.
And, you know, Truman, it's important. I think we all know, sitting in this room, being a little bit older now than some of these kids, but – of not only how to be a good winner, but how to learn how to lose. It doesn't mean you have to get used to it and like it.
Right.
But none of us are going to win all of our games, be it on the ball field or anywhere else. The best case I ever tried, I think I lost. You know, that's the way it happens sometimes. And
did you have a good judge?
Well, I did. It just went a little sideways. And it was a jury, as a matter of fact, in federal court. But anyway, I did my best, but you still come up short sometime as far as the win-loss column. But you know, learning how to handle that is important. And you see some young girls, particularly, or young boys, no matter, they haven't had that yet. They've been in their family environment, and everything's gone their way. And then now they come up and say, you mean we didn't win this game? Well, it's just a time to learn from it. And we really try to provide a wholesome atmosphere for the kids. The smaller the kids, the bigger the crowd, because here comes grandma, parents, and everybody and their brothers.
Yes. Exactly right.
But it's a wonderful environment for them to come out and watch these little ones play and compete and laugh and have fun. It's a joy to watch, and I've been doing it for a long time, and it's fun to watch.
What do you do when you get a mama that's there, and she becomes very vocal about what's going on, kind of protecting her daughter as she gets involved with the umpires and all the other things that are going on? Or maybe the coach didn't get her daughter in when she thought that she should, or playing the position that they wanted.
Right.
Everybody wants to play shortstop now. And when I was growing up, it was shortstop and center field. Of course, Mickey Mantle.
Or anywhere in the infield.
Yeah. The great stars at that time. How do you handle that? Because I have seen it doing some coaching and things like that. It's always – sometimes it's humorous and sometimes it's not.
Right. Sometimes it can get pretty bad. But we have it every now and then, and we talk with our coaches about that. And one thing we do is that our coaches, before season even starts, at first practice, when he puts his team together, he or she asks – either one or two parents show up, because some of these older girls drive themselves to the park. But we ask at least one parent to show up, and we talk about what you just talked about and try to keep everything in keel. But that comes about in sportsmanship, and we really push on sportsmanship among the girls, among the parents, and what have you. But when that issue comes up, most of our coaches are aware of that, and we ask them to talk off to them to the side. Don't talk to them in front of the girls. Listen to them. And hopefully, and answer their question. And if they still got a concern, if the coach feels like he didn't satisfy the person, the parent's still unhappy and gives them a problem with the next game, then we get our commissioner involved. And our commissioner's after the ball game sits down with the head coach and the girl and the parents, or the parents, not the girl. We keep the girl off the side because the girls just want to play ball and have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But we'll have a meeting with them, and we'll try to get the issue resolved, because that's the point in time we let the parent know, look, this is about your girl. You know, let's be realistic here, and we try to work it out. And most of the time, the parent understands that, and it goes on, and that's the end of the results. We don't hear any more about it.
Because everybody wants the parents and the grandparents to get involved in the cheering, in the inductee last night. Rodney Hayes was one of them, Coach Joe Black Hayes' son. Mm-hmm. He's been in the teaching profession for a long time, really great guy. But he can't go anywhere without somebody hollering like his mama used to, because she would holler all the way from the hand, "Hit the ball, Rodney!" And it stays with you your whole life. It's just absolutely great.
Well, one of the things, too, Truman, I think our coaches, we have good coaches. We've had some folks that have been out there for years and years, and some of them, I think, don't even have kids in the deal anymore. They just want to be involved. Mm-hmm. And by and large, the great majority of those people are fantastic people. But we also tell them, you know, it's a privilege to get to coach in our league, not a right.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a privilege. But we really appreciate their efforts, because we couldn't do it without them. And the great majority of them are wonderful and teach the girls the right way.
And they're people that you'll remember your whole life, your coaches.
That's exactly
And that's
right.
one of the things we were talking about last night. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
GPS Refurbishing, Middle Tennessee's metal refurbishing and coating experts since 1985. GPS Refurbishing can bring new life to your old, worn-out, even damaged metal treasures using our proven metal refurbishing processes, including powder coating. This process bakes on vivid, durable colors and is much better than wet spray paints. Bring antiques, outdoor and pool furniture, wheels, tools, farm equipment, toys, metal shelving, trailers, aluminum boats, and more back to life. GPS Refurbishing, 895-0816. GPS Refurbishing, 810 Old Salem Highway, just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help you devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs.
My name is Denise. I'm a scheduling care coordinator here at Home Care. I always want to make sure that both the client and the caregiver are in comfortable situations and that they enjoy each other's company and not think of it as a service.
Everybody needs a little help now and then, and At Home Care is here to help.
My name is Maria Ramirez, and I'm a healthcare coordinator for At Home Care. And what we do is personal care and support services for elderly and disabled. We also have young people that we work with, quad and paraplegics. On a daily basis, we schedule for these people that have needs, whether it's transportation, errands, housekeeping, personal needs. These are some of the things that we do.
Find out more at homecaretn.com or by calling 713-4639.
How many avenues have you taken but still keep coming back to the road, asking yourself, how do I find my purpose in life? Have you ever set goals for yourself and lacked that extra oomph to see them through? If not, it's time to start. If so, what has kept you from achieving them? I'm Jean Jenkins, and I'm a certified Christian life coach. I can help you find your passion and purpose, help you attain them, and hold you accountable. Maybe you lack the self-esteem to do any of the above. I have the desire to help you see your worth, passions, and goals in life. Through life coaching, you can build a greater self-esteem so you can approach life with a determination to pursue your goals with inspiration and a burning desire to achieve them. You'll expand your possibilities through accountability. In the end, you'll be inspired, motivated, and willing to step out of that box that's constrained you so you can reach your goals with a greater love for yourself. For more info, go to findingyou.com. That's findingewe.com. You can't take care of other things until you take care of yourself. Start off the year by investing in you.
Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare.
We have a lot of people that have been here for a long time and will be here for a long time, and this is their home now and they love it.
We just have a good time and enjoy it.
People are nice. But everybody I've ever met has always been nice to me.
And I know if I need anything, they'd be here or see that I got it.
We feel like we're the best. I promise that if you give us a shot, we'll do our very best to make sure that you feel the same way.
Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
There's a new district champion in girls basketball. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. The Blackman girls use a 16-0 run in the second quarter to beat Oakland 60-37. The Lady Blaze, now 27-1 on the season, were 25-36 with 69% from the field with two threes. Lady Patriots shot only 36%. Blackman also got very balanced scoring. Crystal Dangerfield, Alex Johnson, and Mimi Jackson all had 14 points, with Jazz Bond chipping in 13. The Lady Pats led in scoring by Kara Houses, 11. Blackman will host 6-25 Franklin County Friday night in the first round of the region. Oakland will host 15-11 Lincoln County. All region quarterfinal games begin at 7. We now have more details on that head-on crash midday Monday on the old Nashville Highway near the intersection of Amanda Way that killed a man. State troopers believe alcohol may have been involved. 53-year-old Ronald King killed when he attempted to pass another car striking an SUV head-on. The SUV, driven by 18-year-old Maria Tarpley from Smyrna, was transported to the hospital after the wreck with serious injuries. Investigators say the driver of the car that struck the teen was drinking alcohol prior to the wreck. Although he was killed, blood tests are still being conducted. Reports indicate that five other people in the SUV being driven by Tarpley were also injured in the wreck. They were all wearing their seatbelts. Gulf Coast refinery maintenance began last week, and gas prices already reflect increases. Southeast pump prices jumped as a whole last week, and the nation's average for a gallon of regular gas climbed 7 cents from a week ago. Many discounters in the borough bumped prices up. The lowest price we could find still is pretty good at $3.07. More news at facebook.com/WGNS Radio. This is WGNS News.
Brought to you by
Kestner Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad, across from the Chevy dealer.
Have you thought about trying acupuncture? I'd love to answer your questions in a free consultation. Just call 895-1253 to schedule an appointment.
That update brought to you by Think About Your Eyes. Did you know that computers, phones, or tablets can strain your eyes? Think about getting a yearly eye exam. You can find an eye doctor at thinkaboutyoureyes.com.
WeatherEye.
We'll see increasing clouds here for this afternoon with a high in the mid-60s and winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance for showers late, mostly cloudy, a low near 52. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vujicki. Right now, 45.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back. And we want to let you know that this part of Roger and Fred's show is brought to you by Metal Max, and it's located at 900 Captain Joe Fulgham Drive. That's just off Middle Tennessee Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro. Metal roofs are beautiful, they're resistant to wind damage, roof rust, and many are less expensive than asphalt shingles. They offer factory direct pricing, so you can buy your roofing and siding materials straight from the manufacturer without the middleman. Go by and see their friendly staff today and let them show you over 20 different colors of Metal Max roofing and siding. Give them a call today at 494-1693. That's 494-1693. Or pull them up on the website, www.metalmax.com. Well, you were saying that it was going to be a very competitive year this year, Fred. Tell me about it.
I think we're going to be more competitive than we was last year. We've got good coaches coming back, and Roger mentioned some of our coaches in the program, been there for years. Some of them been there longer than I have. Most of them do have kids in the program. I think we only have one that does not. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's going to be more competitive than we've never seen it, and that's where we want it at. And so I'm looking forward this year and seeing what the results are.
Do your coaches get so competitive that sometimes, say, everybody's heard of Randy King around here. When he'd hit a softball, it would go out of sight. You'd never see it again.
Right.
And when we would play them competitively in a special game that we would have a pickup, Randy would be walked every time.
Right.
Do you do that? I mean, I know is you want to see the skills, but does winning become that important?
Well, it happens, okay? And the coach knows who the good hitters are.
It better happen.
And here's the deal. In our rules, and we changed that this year, in our rules, we have these no intentional walks. Mm-hmm. And we put that in there for that simple reason where a coach can get around and maybe can walk one girl because of the five-run rule and win the ball game and cannot be beat in that last inning. But this year, we're taking that out. And the reason we're taking that out is that the umpires – has got to make a judgment call on that, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, if if the coach tells the pitcher, say, hey, throw them all maybe like four outside balls, and it's hard for the umpire to say, hey, that girl intentionally walked that girl.
So you don't have an intentional
walk.
So
we
walk.
Don't. We took that out. Or yeah. That is out. Yeah. So the coach can do that this year. If mm-hmm. he wants to walk a girl, he can walk a girl. And the umpire's not going to be able to do anything about it. And so that's one reason we take it out, because umpires complain to us. And I know what's happened. I've got a girl, they serve girls out there. My girl hits the ball pretty well. And when she comes up, she's been walked, I'm sure, intentionally. But I can't prove that. But based on the pitches, that goes out. And we got some girls that comes up, like you talked about, that's got a good bat that puts it to the fence. And the coaches know that, especially mm-hmm. if they already played them. And they know who them hitters are. And so that girl killed me the last ball game. It ain't going to happen this game. And he ended up walking and put him on base. And that's part of the play. It's in TSSA rules. It's in tournament rules. So we just decided to take that rule out in our older groups, all of them, 12 and under, 16 and under, where that they can do that and just be competitive and do the same thing that they would do if they played in school ball.
Now, if somebody's got a girl that's just got one of those super arms, and we've all seen it when they were yes. playing in the championships. If you've got a girl that can just blaze it in, probably if baseball speed, we're talking about 90 to 100
yes.
miles an
yes.
hour.
Yes.
How important is that, and how difficult yeah. is it for a coach to overcome when that particular coach does not have a blazing a softball pitcher compared to the others? It's almost impossible to win against something
well,
like that sometimes.
He's definitely got the advantage. The faster pitcher that really can place the ball in and out.
And make it rise or
and
dip.
Make it right. He's definitely got the advantage. And But those teams, and we've had those two teams out there. I mentioned a couple of girls there. Sydney Spivey played for us last year. She's one of the best. Danielle O'Donnell. A little Sadie Loftus, mm-hmm. All of them was good pitchers, bring the ball pretty good, 50 to 55 mile an hour, mm-hmm. and they had advantage, but they got beat. I mean, those teams that come up and got the bat alive and beat them. So if you get some good batters in that batter box that's got good batter skills and knows what they're doing, they can make contact with that ball.
One thing I've noticed, especially with softball pitchers, is that they rarely have injuries. A baseball, of course, it's an unorthodox way of throwing a baseball, but you get right. more power throwing a baseball the way they throw
yes.
it. But
yes.
with a softball, it doesn't seem to affect the arm in an adverse way like baseball. Now, we've got a caller on the line, so okay. guys, Roger, right. Fred, we got to put our ears on. Caller, welcome aboard.
Hey.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
We're good.
Hey, I want to make a comment on Randy King. Randy King used to play Fog League for me in Laverne. And that bugger, I tell you, I don't think he even really know how far he could have knocked the ball. He knocked 11 out of the park one night.
Yeah, yeah. It was automatic.
It's just a flip of the wrist. He don't put a lot of muscle in it. He just put the reflex to it, and he was a super softball player, and I was just wondering, what is he doing now?
Randy is at Providence Academy. He's the athletic director there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That was a great sign for them.
Well, if you talk to him, tell him a guy named John T. Jones.
All right.
That he used to play for when I had the Knight Riders.
Oh, okay.
And him and a bunch of them that played for me that played in another league in the summer, but he always would come play with me, for me in the fall league. And I tell you, them boys could walk the dog with that bat.
Yes, they could.
And I was just wondering how the old boy doing. I hadn't talked to him in years.
Randy was on this show about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, had a good time with
him. You see him, just tell him John P. Jones said hi and just keep up a good work.
We'll do it, John P. Thank you.
Okay, so y'all have a good day.
You too. See ya.
You know, Truman, Randy King's not only a great softball player, he's a great basketball player.
Oh, yeah.
If I remember correctly, Randy's from Auburntown way.
Yes, he is.
He and Steve Shirley and Gary Gilley, three guys Randy didn't play as much, but we played after high school, we played some ball together. Mm-hmm. And great athletes right over there in that little small town. Gary Gilley played at Cumberland College when it was a two-year school, and Cliff Ellis coached there. If you remember, they won they won the National Junior College Championship when Fishback and all those people were there. So these guys are great players, and Randy King's a fabulous athlete, anything he did.
Yeah, and we keep talking about all the great athletes now, but years ago, this community's always been full of them. I guess it goes from one generation to another.
Right.
The thing about the Kiwanis Club that really makes me feel so strongly toward them is that you have been doing this for a long, long time. And the development of these kids is so vital, especially at a younger age as they grow and learn to develop their skills. But it's so important to have like a role model with them as they're growing up, because they develop not only physical skills, but they also develop, like you said earlier, the sportsmanship quality that you need to be successful in life.
Exactly. And that's the softball program is a vehicle to do that, mm-hmm. we feel like, and have for all these many years and decades, that being able to put our efforts toward helping the young folks in Rutherford County is a noble one, because they're out there in a wholesome activity. You know where they are. They're being taught how to play a sport and enjoy themselves. And it's just a good stepping stone. And if it turns out to be one of those things that they end up being a top flight player that can get a scholarship, that's wonderful. If it's not, then they're still in a wholesome activity that they learn from. So it's really important, the Kiwanis Club. It has been ever since I've been in it and beyond.
It's a win-win situation for whoever takes part.
It is that.
That's correct.
Now, I remember when they first started playing ball here, and we had tryouts, and during the tryouts, the coaches would be there, and then they would watch them hit, pitch, catch, run. They did all the things that make you an athlete in baseball.
Right.
And I remember there were only four teams, and you could only have so many spots per team, and everybody else had to go home. And I can remember, probably 90% of the kids had to go back home because they didn't make it.
Right.
How do they do that now?
Well, we don't do that now. We used to bring our girls on the field and rate them accordingly, like you said, years ago. But and every girl that comes in our program, you know, they play in our program. Mm-hmm. Every girl on every team can only sit out one inning. It's in our rules, our in-house rules. They can only sit out one inning, and that girl's got to go in and play the very next inning. So every girl that signs up and plays in our program, you know, we'll play in our program. So speaking of what you talked about the tryouts coming out and qualifying to play, now we let the girls, once we get on the team, the coach watch that girls play all year long. At the end of the year, each one of our commissioners in each group gets with that head coach and says, now you watched little Susie play all year. Tell us how you rate her. And we rate our girls accordingly. You know, one, been an excellent ball player, two, been a good ball player, three, been a fair ball player, four, been, you know, just a beginner. And little Susie might have been a three at the beginning of the season. And I see this a lot. And at the end of the season, you know, she's a two. So she's improved, you know, her skills. That's what we look at. And this gives us a avenue to look at to make sure the coach is doing, hopefully, his job or her job. But based on that system, we take and we put these girls into a draft, and each coach can only protect four ball players with a sponsorship. That's all he can start with. The other girls goes in a blind draft, you know, turned upside down by ratings, by age, and we equal those girls up on each team, each commissioner does, and equal them up and give him an equal amount. So if you're sitting there, Crewman Jones is a coach, and you've got four number one ball players, and Roger Hudson sitting over here with two number threes and two number twos, which is not too good going into the deal because of his assistant coaches or whatever, the girl's not that great of a ball player, then you're going to have the advantage over Roger.
Right.
So what we do, if the commissioner in the draft, he looks at that and sees that, We've got any ones and twos. We try to pass you on with some ones and two ball players, at least to three or four of them, to try to bring you up to be competitive with Roger. You know, and sometimes that don't always happen. We don't have ones, a lot of ones. But if we do, we'll bring the weak coach up, you know, to hopefully get some good ball players on his team so he can be competitive and win. And that's what our new system's all about, is trying to make every team competitive and equal, and then let the best coach and the best players win the ball game.
Let me be kind of like the devil's advocate on that. Yeah, what if they're used to playing with each other? They enjoy playing with each other. They develop friendships, as we all know, when you play.
Right.
And then you go in and you're taking two of their best players, two of their buddies off of their team. Of course, no matter what, everybody wants to win.
Right.
I mean, they really do. I mean, that's I've seen kids, boys and girls, cry when they lost a game.
Right.
And
they
were so competitive.
Right.
And it drives them to get better.
Right.
Am I going the wrong way when I'm talking about
that? No, that does happen. We have a lot of requests. The girls, for transportation reasons, and of course, we'll always let sisters play on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get into situations where we've got two sets of sisters, and let's say that the coach has got his daughter, his daughter's the number one, and those two sets of sisters are ones and twos, then he can't start with five ball players. He's got to let that one protect he's got, and he'll go away. The reason we do that is that we have a lot of requests, and we found out that sometimes you got to stay one step ahead of the coach. He'll have a good ball player. Hey, just put on your sign-up form. You want to play for Coach So-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can look at it and says, Coach So-and-so, we got eight ball players who wants to play for Coach So-and-so. Well, we can't let them eight ball players play for Coach So-and-so. Mm-hmm. He can only start with four of them. Now, in the past, I think some of that has happened, and that's the reason why some of these teams went out there and went undefeated. So we have pretty well put in our league rules and kind of carved in concrete that this is something we're going to stick to and try to make the teams competitive. And we'll try to talk with the parents. And once you talk with the parents and make them understand that, why, you know, they understand and they're okay with it as we go forward.
Truman, it's no different than anything else. These coaches start angling right off the bat, trying to get the best players on their team.
And they all need an attorney.
They do. Yeah. They all need to hire an attorney. But they try to do that, and they want to win.
Of course.
And we have to try to temper it a little bit, and we do the best we can. It's not perfect. But there are a lot of leagues, or some leagues I know in years past I've seen, where you could protect so many players that they would bring a near-about championship team in before it ever got started.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're dealing with a developmental league, in a lot of ways like ours is, until you get a little bit older, that's particularly bad, in my opinion. So we do the best we can, it's not perfect, to even them out so there's a competitive competitive try when you go out there to prevail in that game or have a good game. Again, I say I've watched games in years past, despite all we could do, end up, 20 to nothing or whatever. And I just don't think anybody's learning a lot during that time period. So, and the kids lose interest. So if you keep it competitive, they get fired up. You're right. It's fun. And that's what we try to do.
It's fun for everybody, except sometimes the parents get competitive with the coach and others because of the position that they want their child to be playing or, And that's why I would not want to coach my kid.
Right.
I would not, because I don't care. It could be the greatest player they ever played. You put him on shortstop. Well, my son's better than so-so.
Exactly.
Well, sometimes, what happens, though, is sometimes we tell our coaches this, and the coach has got his daughter playing, and sometimes the coach will play a little politics and a little friendship and put his daughter in infield when in reality – you know, she should probably be in outfield.
But he doesn't think that.
Yeah, right, but he doesn't think so. So, and
mama,
we have the issue.
So.
No, and especially mom.
And mom, and the parents are going to let you know about that. So what we do, we try to do the – because the head coach makes the final decision.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to support our coaches. If it wasn't for our coaches and our commissioners, we wouldn't have a program.
Yeah.
So we support our coaches, and we try to quit that type of situation if it happens, and hopefully he'll make the right decision when it comes to placing that player in that position. But sometimes he can bring heat on himself.
You know, Truman, I've said before, if the coaches and the parents will behave themselves and stay out of the way, in some respects, the kids will have a great time.
That's right.
So if the coaches will behave themselves, even though they're competitive, and you want them to be. You know, we're Americans. We're supposed to be competitive.
Yes. Yeah.
But once you do that, if the parents behave themselves, the kids will have a great time. Mm-hmm. They always do.
But when you're dealing, Krugman, with 1,200 parents, 600 girls.
Oh, please.
Hey, you're going to have an issue every now and then. Roger don't see this. None of the Kiwanis see this. I see it, though, every day, and it comes right back to me. But anyway, we handle it, like Roger said, we handle it the best we can. We'll probably be fair.
I don't see how you get any sleep at all, Fred.
Well, I do.
So. We want to let you know that this part of Roger and Fred's show is brought to you by Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat. And course, we're getting into that season. We're going out of that season, the end of the season, so we never get away from it. But there is a way right now to restore your hearing if you're having a hearing loss after the age of 50, and most people do. You need to give Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat a call today. And Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat has been Rutherford County's trusted provider of taking care of all the coughing, sneezing, stuffed up feelings for almost two decades. Their team of caring physicians, audiologists, nurses, and administrators are standing ready for you and your family. You can improve your style of healthy living. They also have a mobile hearing unit that will actually come to your home, diagnose, fit you with a hearing device right in the comfort of your living room. Call Middle Tennessee Ear, Nose, and Throat today at 848-9265. That's 848-9265.
Get out of the house. Turn off the computers, cell phones, and video games. It's time to create some family memories with your mom, dad, your children, or your spouse. Or maybe just spend some quality time with your friends. I'm Randy Boland, Murfreesboro Outdoors, on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. Murfreesboro Outdoors, open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street. I'm Randy Boland. Now, turn off the computers and go hunting or fishing.
You don't have hot dogs or apple pie or no Chevrolet to drive, but we have some hickory smoked wings you're just dying to try. You'll try them, you'll like them, you'll give some to a friend. So on a dare, just stop on by and bring in a friend. Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Sheriff Robert Arnold and the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office School Resource Officer Division welcomes the 9th Annual SRO Special Needs Rodeo, February 28 and March 1 at Miller Coliseum on Thompson Lane. Doors open at 6 p.m. Rodeo begins at 7:30. 800 special needs students from across our county will be our invited guests. Special sponsors this year, AAA Lock and Safe of Murfreesboro and CAD Corps. For more information or ticket sales, contact 904-3066.
There's an upcoming conference that will change the life of your teen. The Transform Conference in the Last Days will educate your teens through inductive study so they can be disciples of God within their schools, churches, and community. The focus of the conference will be on 2 Peter. Conference dates are April 11th through the 13th at Horton Haven Christian Camp in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. This is the fourth year of the conference, and we look forward to an excellent weekend. I'm Rose Haynes, the director of the conference. Please visit shoutofcommand.org for details. Space is limited, so sign up now at shoutofcommand.org.
The Truman Show on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
And welcome back with Fred Marshall, Roger Hudson. Fred, season getting ready to start.
Yes, sir.
And when is the last sign-up day? And what are the parents looking at, or the grandparents, when they take their child over there?
Well, our last sign-up day physically will be at Central Magnum School this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You don't have to bring your birth certificate or anything like that. Just come on in, and there'll be plenty of people there to help you sign up. Mm-hmm. The cost for slow pitch is $60. The cost for fast pitch is $65. In our program last year, we don't have any fundraising in our program now. Mm-hmm. We don't have anybody have to work in our concession. So you just bring your girl out and just absolutely have fun and watch the ball game.
But you're going to have the concessions.
We'll have concessions also. There'll be concessions, but parents won't be required to work concessions. The Kiwanis is going to
Oh, you guys are doing that.
Well, we have a system set up to do it, and sometimes we're there, but we have somebody that runs that for us.
Yeah. Because I can't watch a ball game without a hot dog. Yeah.
Well,
I just can't do it.
We have good concessions.
Oh, yes.
Don't get us wrong. Good stuff.
You know, in some of the programs, like in Smyrna, you know, it requires, you know, you to work in concession, parents work in concession, and also do a fundraiser. So we're trying to get away from that and just absolutely let the girls and the parents come out and have fun and plan our program and enjoy the summer. Their time off.
Now, the monies that they give to sign up, does that go toward uniforms and
that
things
goes
like
toward
that?
Uniforms, go towards equipment. We have a lot of equipment investment each year, you know, furnishing a catcher, helmets and chest protectors, shin guards.
Dirt for field, dirt on the fields.
Dirt on the fields.
Do they bring their own bats?
We do furnish younger girls' bats, but when you get in these older groups, they usually have their own bats, but we do have bats we can give. Most time, the girls only got to have their glove, cleats. We furnish them a shirt as part of that fee, and they got to have a helmet with a face mask, in order to get in the batter box. But other than that, that's basically all that's required of them. And some girls and younger groups, we can handle that because that equipment gets a pretty good issue there. Mm-hmm. We've got a ton of money invested in equipment in our equipment room out there, and we try to keep that upgraded every year and keep the girls in good equipment. Yeah. So I think we've done a good job doing that.
Now, if you've got a really great athlete, a bat's really important.
Yes.
Because it's a science now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, hey, and when you get in this older group, fast pitch, 12 and under, 16 under, all those girls, most of them, has got their own bats. And they want that the hottest bats out, which is composite bats now. They got them all over Easton, Louisville, but they bring that bat to the game, and it does make a difference. It's part of the game now.
Now, are you guys teaching what I've seen in college, the fast pitch, is that if you've got a really flamethrower, they do a lot of slapping at the ball, especially if you have speed on your team.
Yes.
Do they teach the regular way of hitting more than the slapping, or vice versa here when you're dealing at the level that they're going to be playing at?
Well, they do teach. Some of our coaches teach the girls, especially the girls that's got good speed, to slap bunt. And a difference in bunting and slap bunting, the bunting is when a girl is stabilized and brings the bat forward and just puts it in front of the ball and puts it down. And the rule on that is if you do a bunt, third strike bunt, it's your third strike and it goes foul, you're out. Yeah. Now, the slap bunt, you got movement and motion with the girl going toward the ball to bring the ball down into the field of play.
So it's basically a swing.
And it's basically a swing. So she can slap and foul as many times she wants to, you know, and she's not out, you know, I mean, if it goes foul. That's the difference. And a lot of coaches, even in our league, they have girls that they've got speed, and they'll teach them those skills to do to get them on base and then get some good hitters to, you know, bring them around and hopefully score with that girl and win the ball game.
That seems to be what the colleges are looking for. They're
college
looking
does
for
all
the power and the speed, too.
Yes, power and speed. If you got power, it don't matter about the speed. If you got power and you can hit the ball and you've got a batting average of over 500, when you go in the batter box, I've got girls on my teams, the travel team, that I had 100% confidence in when I put them in that batter box in that 4 and 5 lineup. They're going to make contact with the ball, and they're going to strike out. They're going to make contact with that ball. And most of the time, they're going to make great contact, and especially if I got somebody on base. And that's where I try to get that at and try to bring it, scoring a person in that's on base. So that's part of the program, and that's part of our program. And we teach that, especially in our older groups.
Well, Roger Hudson, Fred Marshall, enjoyed it. It's a
Thank
great
you, sir.
Show.
Thank
and
you.
We do want to let everybody, you guys may be going out to MTSU today. They're playing ball today. At 3:15, and forget all about Kennesaw. I mean, that was a fluke. I don't know what happened on that. But you'll see a great game today. So come out and support all your local teams. See you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Drew.